I ask that you would please take your Bibles and open up to the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. I have, in my personal study time, I have been going back through Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, excuse me. Or more commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount, and just refreshing myself in this passage of Scripture where Jesus lays out so beautifully, really and truly, what the Christian life is. And this whole passage ended up being the outline, if you will, of what his ministry was going to be. And everything that he proclaimed and preached, you can take various examples out of the Gospels, and you can see where he fulfilled these very things that he was preaching about in that message that he used there. And he lived that message as an example before the people. A lot of people didn't like it. They really didn't. The religious elite did not like the concepts that Jesus preached and proclaimed and then ultimately lived out. And that's what happens quite often when people place themselves above truth. And I want you to just kind of consider what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at the 34th verse. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus says this. He says, "Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Don't worry about tomorrow. There'll be plenty of troubles and problems for tomorrow. Don't worry about yesterday. There were plenty of things that transpired there. Be aware of today. And as I began to look at this particular verse of Scripture, I have come up with this basic outline. We're going to jump around a little bit. But I want us to consider what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, first of all, look to the Lord today. Look to the Lord today. Secondly, lean on the Lord today. Third, love as the Lord today. And then number four, lift for the Lord today. And so let's begin to look at this particular direction that the Lord is saying. He's saying, do not be anxious for tomorrow. In other words, don't worry about what tomorrow's going to hold. And so let's take his word at its truth, and let's, first of all, let's look to the Lord today. Micah chapter 7, verse 7 says this, "I will look unto the Lord, and my God will hear me. I will look unto the Lord, and my God will hear me." You see, many Christians see only the problems. Do you know anybody like that? I mean, everything to them is a problem. Every individual is a problem. I mean, after all, they're the only perfect people in the world. And if everybody would just be like them, this whole world would just be an awesome place. However, everybody would hate each other. But, you know, that would be everybody else's fault. That's the way too many people focus. They are literal fulfillments of what's that guy's name? If anything bad can happen, it will. Murphy's Law. They are the perfect fulfillment of Murphy. They're probably Murphyites. We're supposed to be Christians, or if you will, that word means little Christs. That's what the word Christian means, little Christs. And that's what we are supposed to be. And by the way, they were first called Christians in Antioch because people saw through the disciples the very reflection of Jesus Christ in everything that he did and everything that he taught. But instead of becoming little Christians, they're Murphyites. Poor me. I have it. You don't know what I was dealt. You don't know how rough it is. Well, that woman that I have to stay with, boy, I'll tell you, I could just slap her. She probably feels the same way. All right? But you know, people fall into that poor, poor me. That job I have, that's a horrible job. Well, get another one. You know, instead of falling into this whole, Reverend Irwin Pullman used to call it the pity pot pout, you know, poor me, I have it so rough. Life stinks. Well, get the Lindberger out of your mustache. Life won't stink near as bad. And realize that as much as you think everybody else makes you miserable, you make them miserable too. What's the solution? The solution is to look to the Lord today. Today. Forget the past. Don't be worried or anxious about the future, but live in the moment and the opportunity that you have today. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. There'll be enough problems tomorrow to fill that day with some issues. Live for today and the opportunities. You know that every day God places in front of us opportunities to shine for Him. But if we're so stinking tarnished by lousy, stinky attitudes, we're not good reflectors of God's grace. You know what we need to do? Get over ourselves and move on. Look for the opportunities today to be able to shine for Jesus Christ. And He will open up great doors. He'll give us great opportunities. But we need to get over ourselves. And so look to the Lord today. Secondly, lean on the Lord today. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, this is going to shock some of you. You're not as smart as God. Uh-oh, there I said it. You might think you're smart as God. You might think you're smarter than God. And you see, when you don't live by God's principles, whether they're principles you like or you don't like, when you don't live by those principles, you're not smarter than God. You just think you are. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Some people trust in doctors. Some people trust in lawyers. And by the way, if you're going to trust in lawyers, let me remind you, it's lawyers that run Washington. Think about it. Some people trust in their friends. Some people trust in their loved ones. And they might receive temporary encouragement, but they don't receive godly wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, for He will guard your path and direct your path. He will guard you and protect you and direct you, and He will help you above all things. But when you're trusting in the wrong things, we're not leaning on the Lord, and therefore we have no claim to His direction. That always interests me about Christians. Christians get it so messed up because they think, you know what, I gave my heart to Jesus 35 years ago, and yet look at the mess that my life is now. Why didn't He guide me? Why didn't He direct me? Why didn't you listen? Why didn't you pay attention? Why weren't you faithful? You see, we need to look at our lives and say, am I really trusting in the Lord? Am I really leaning on Him? Am I giving Him full control so that He can direct my path? So that He can guard me from making missteps and doing those things which are wrong? Am I really going to do that? When that kind of a situation comes up, you know what Paul says? He says, go back and do the first works all over again. You know what the first works are? Acknowledge we have sinned before God. Because when we're trusting ourselves, that's what we're doing. We're worshiping an idol. We're putting a false god in front of Him. So we need to acknowledge that He is God. Secondly, we need to repent of that sin. Because, as I stated, that is sin. When we trust in anything other than God, we are placing an idol before Him and we're sinning. Let's not call it misstep. Let's not call it mistake. Let's call it what it is. It is sin. And sin separates us from God. You got Eric over here. Eric likes to run around on these tracks and drive in circles and make left-hand turns. Right? If you run that car all by yourself, you get yourself in a pickle, don't you? I'll bet you pray before races, don't you?
I pray during a race.
Because there's someone else out in one of those cars that ain't praying. But you see, folks, the thing is, we need to put God in everything, in every decision that we make. And consult Him and let Him be the one who directs our paths. Let Him be the one who guides us through life. And so go back and do the first things over again. Repent and renew a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, if you have a stinky attitude, your relationship with the Lord's not right. If you are running with those that you know are not healthy and wholesome for your spiritual life, you're messing up, man. You're messing up. Your relationship's not right with the Lord. That needs to be confessed and taken care of. But this person's a Christian. No, they say they're a Christian. If they are leading you away from doing the things that are right, they're not a Christian. Understand that. Because Christians don't do that to one another. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is writing to that church, which, by the way, was not exactly the model of a godly church, although many groups like to think it is, but it's not. But when Paul is writing, he says, look, if there's any so-called brother, who is not honorable before the Lord, don't have anything to do with him. Don't make them your friend. Instead, don't have anything to do with them. Don't even eat with them. Now, what's the purpose of that? The purpose of that is as they begin to see that people are distancing themselves, believers are distancing themselves, the hope is that they will repent and make their lives right. That's the purpose of that. We need to lean on the Lord today, not sometime in the future. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. There'll be enough troubles tomorrow to fill tomorrow. Worry about today. Live one day at a time. Number three, love as the Lord today. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 says this, "If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." But Pastor, you just said if someone is a, yes, so-called believer, claiming themselves to be something but not living the way that is right, then they're just a so-called brother. Distance yourself so that they'll repent and that type of thing. But you know what? You ought to love those within the church who are honoring God with their lives. You're not going to agree with everybody's ideas. I run into that all the time. After all, I'm a pastor. A lot of people could run this church a whole lot better than the way that I do things. Just ask them, and they will tell you. Now, of course, they're not the ones that wind up at the hospitals. They're not the ones that are doing all of these other things that, that need to be done. All they're looking at is what they see on the very surface, but they know that they could do a whole much better job. And I'll tell you what, I will resign today if you want to step in. That is fine, because being a preacher was not my choice. That was God's calling. And I've said to him many times, "Lord, are you really sure? You could use someone else in so much better way." "No, Lynn, I've called you. Don't you worry about it. You follow me." "Oh, I follow you. No matter what you think. No matter what you think. No matter what you think. No matter even what he thinks. I follow him." You want to know something? If you determine to do that in your own life, follow him, a lot of this other stuff will mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. Love as the Lord today. That means sacrificially. You're going to sacrifice your will for the Lord's will. You're going to sacrifice your passions for the Lord's passions. You're going to sacrifice yourself in order that the Lord might live through you in a greater way. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies to God as a holy sacrifice." As a holy sacrifice. "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You know what a renewed mind says? It's not about me. It's about him. It's not about me, about others. That's what a renewed mind says. A renewed mind says, Jesus suffered so much for my salvation. Why should I not suffer for His glory? But man, we hate that thought. When it's about us, we're not willing to make the sacrifices. We're really not. We're after more of the ease and the comfort and less of the conviction. The Lord set aside ease and He set aside comfort, the very comfort of heaven, to come here and to sacrifice for you and I. How can we do any less for Him? Number four, lift for the Lord today. In other words, do what's right to help the Lord's cause. Do what's right. You know what's right. No one really has to tell you what's right. Do it. Just do it. Be a Nike Christian. Just do it. Do what is right. And God will bless your life. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Live honorably, honestly, faithfully before the Lord today. And then when tomorrow comes, make the determination that you will live honorably, honestly, and righteously for the Lord then. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Let's stand. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us and for your great grace and your great care. Father, thank you for your promise to be with us and to give us hope. Father, thank you for the way that you open up great doors of opportunity for us. And when we're in tune with you, we recognize those opportunities. And then, Lord, as we take advantage of those opportunities, we help to lighten the load of someone else and thereby fulfill your will for us. Now, Lord, teach us to live like you. Teach us to be your hands, your arms, your eyes, your mouthpiece in this world. Teach us to reflect your glory so powerfully that others will see you at work in us and give you the glory. Because, Lord, it's not about us. It's about you. Now, Lord, be with us this day and help us to honor you. For it's in your glorious and righteous and holy name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a great day in Jesus today.